Good day, everyone. Welcome to the 23 Podcast, wherever you are, whenever you might be listening. Thank you so much for making us part of your day and for joining us. My name is Parker Kern, here as most of the time with my good friend and our pastor, Father Jeff McBeth. Father, we are counting down the days.
It's the final countdown.
Yeah. I know. I got to like wrap my head around that one of these days.
Well.
Ready or not, that's the way it goes.
Here he comes.
Ready
yeah.
or not.
How are you doing with all of it?
I think all right. Yeah. I think it's, Advent's always a full time, but...
Full time.
Yeah, I keep thinking about, when I had my my encounter class a few weeks ago, and,
yeah.
and people kind of had this kind of image of a tidal wave or a storm on the boat, two independent, people, and that said, God was going to bring you peace through it, and I sort of felt that.
That's good.
Even with... all the things with Father Joe's funeral on and so but yep. I've sort of known God's peace last year Advent like by that second week the end of that second week I was just exhausted
mm-hmm.
But I think I've just the Lord's been providing and so I think praise God for all that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah, certainly a great celebration for a great friend of ours
yeah.
and a great disciple, Father Joe, last week. It was just a great loss for our community,
right.
and I know that that's been felt by many people, but what a wonderful celebration of his life.
Yeah.
And praying him up to the kingdom.
Right. I kind of like to put a little memorial at his spot, but it's right in the middle of the floor, so it's probably not the right spot to do that. But in our mind, we can remember him there.
It's still weird for me, because sometimes he would be okay with me saying this because he would probably laugh. But sometimes how he would move his wheelchair and it would go,
yep.
He would just move it just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And after the homily, sometimes even if he didn't, give the homily, he would still kind of move out of the, I don't know if he was moving out of the way for you or Father Rose or whatever, but mm-hmm. you would always kind of hear, boop.
Yeah. There was no silencer on that thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just, you sort of missed that,
mm-hmm.
This last couple weeks. So, but
the Mass is a great place to remember those who've gone before us.
Absolutely.
And
we do so every week usually in the general intersections.
Right. Petitions. Yeah, and even in the Eucharistic prayer,
sure.
of course. And it's maybe a little bit for Father Joe, maybe a little more of a visual because we know where he used to be up
yeah.
there, it's a great place to remember him for sure, just like it is for all those who've gone before us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're with us at the Mass. We meet him in the Mass, as I think one of the great saints said. But
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But some things coming up this week yet. If you're listening on Drop Day on Thursday the 18th, we do have our penance service this evening. It's really simple. It's not the night of worship style. It'll be just really simple, but there'll be extra priests available because I know sometimes that helps people, to maybe go to someone they don't know. And it just helps me with being able to.
Yeah, you don't have to wait on
4 hours.
6,000 people, right?
Yeah. So that's at 7:00.
Good.
And then, what might be more your style is the Day of Grace and Mercy, which is not ever an official name, which is kind of what we tend to call it. on Friday, the 19th, Confessions on the Hour from the 9:00 a.m. hour through the 6 p.m. hour. So I will be there at 6 p.m. Forever long I need to be there.
Okay.
So yeah, it's kind of every 15 minutes, if there's no one there, I'll leave and come back at the hour. If there's people there, then I stay. And
nice.
That's the way it goes. So yeah. And then, of course, our normal masses for the fourth Sunday of Advent. Then on Monday, the 22nd, decorating for church for Christmas after the regular 9 a.m. Mass. So we'd love for people to come out and help with that and get that knocked out. It's amazing, what to do. We got some new folks helping us this year, which is great. God bless them.
Uh-huh.
And, but it's, it's always really nice. But obviously it takes some people helping with that.
Yeah.
So really grateful if you're able to come and help us on Monday morning. And by us, I mean other people.
Not us.
Because I won't.
Probably not.
We won't be there.
Yeah, but we'll be there in spirit. And I'll be there on Tuesday to check everything over for the music rehearsal. So.
Yes. Yeah, we got our own things. We got our own things coming up.
Yeah, I'll be saying, wow, what wonderful decorations we have here. So, yeah. But it's all good.
Yeah.
It should be a wonderful celebration.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, again, Christmas masses on the 24th, 4 o'clock, both in the church and around Colley Hall, and then 7 p.m., and then 10 p.m., and then Christmas morning, 10 a.m., plenty of time to sleep in and do the Christmas thing with the kids and maybe still get them out the door for 10 a.m., so I'm looking forward to the schedule.
Yeah, I used to be up at like 5 a.m., I don't know about you, when I was a kid.
Well, sure.
I would get up at like 5, and then my parents would be like, oh, okay, you know, fine. Yeah,
that's the way it goes.
We'll get up and do it.
Right. The one day kids can get up early.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Every other day it's like, I don't want to go to school.
That's right, you know, kicking and screaming.
But 5 a.m. I specifically remember one year was like exactly 5 a.m. And I was like, I'm locked in. Let's go.
That's the time. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Santa had been there and it was great. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a little different now when you're, you know, almost 30. You don't.
Right.
You're actually like, I want to sleep.
Right.
Like, we could do gifts later. We don't have to do them at all, really.
Yeah.
So.
Well, especially for you and me who, quote unquote, work on Christmas. It's a whole different,
it's sort of a different thing. Yeah. It's sort of just, yeah. It's like a work day, right?
Right.
It's like everybody else is like, whoa, oh, nice.
Great. But, you know, it's celebrating with our church family. So that's great.
That is great.
You know, it is. It's a great day to see a bunch of people.
Yeah. And, I always enjoy seeing the people that I don't, you know, see very, like, especially people whose families still go here, who I was, like, friends with back in the day.
Right, they're coming back for the weekend.
Yeah.
For Christmas, and, yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. Homecoming.
Yeah, they, like, made it out of the armpit of America, and I'm still here, and I'm like, hey, how's it going?
Wow.
So. I live in L.A. now. Yeah. I drive a Lamborghini. Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
I guess that's like a legit like person you know?
No.
Uh-oh.
No. No, it's not. No. I'm always just like, hey, what's up? So
yeah.
It's good. It's always a surprise, you know, because you never know who you're gonna see or
yeah, it's great.
You know, what's
some of our people are out doing the same thing at other places.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, so
for sure.
Missing them, but yeah, of course it's a good reminder, you know, of our parish value of hospitality. You know, that it's not just the official greeters and ushers, although we're grateful for them and the staff, but you know, to exercise hospitality and greeting one another, making space, especially at that 4 o'clock mass, to make space for people, and
that big one,
and just a good way to practice hospitality.
Yeah.
And so,
one of our pillars.
Yes, exactly.
One of our four pillars.
Exactly. So it's a great day to put that in play. You know, for sure. You know, because we could easily not.
Oh, you could not.
So it's right. There's intentionality with it.
You could do all of that, and then you go to the parking lot and have an absolute crash out when someone's trying to, you know, oh, you cut me off, you idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, especially if someone's there who tends to be more disconnected, you know, that'll be my sort of prayer is that, you know, God uses that to get them reconnected. I've heard of that happening before, you know.
And it has, yes.
Yep. So, that's why, you know, it can be a graced, you know, moment, you know, and you never know how the whole Christmas mass experience is going to move someone who needs to be moved in a particular way.
Yes.
You know, and it's happened before. I trust the Lord can do it again. So let's pray for that. And that's part of the great thing about it, especially in the chaos of that first time slot, you know, is, you know what, maybe God's doing something amazing here. And I just gotta keep remembering that.
Yeah,
and all the stuff.
So. Well, and you know, it's great that we have that many people here. I mean, we should be, we are obviously happy about that.
Absolutely.
Right? But it is, you know, especially from like a safety perspective, it's like we can't have 6,000 people in here. Like that's not against. Like we need to make sure that we have, you know. A safe place for people to come, and obviously it is, but you know, you get too many people, but it's all, you know, I just offer it up. I offer up all the stress. I'm like,
yeah, totally.
God's doing good things here, and I'm just happy to be part of this.
Yep.
You know,
and we're celebrating baby Jesus, all that. I'm wondering, I think I saw on social media couple of days ago, like the largest parish in the world. I don't know, it might be in like Ethiopia or something. There's like 300,000 parishioners.
Oh,
I wonder what they're doing.
It's like going to mass at like Michigan Stadium.
Yeah,
could
exactly.
you imagine?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, could you imagine getting communion?
You'd have to
It'd
do
take
that.
Like 6 hours.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
just. They
like at a papal mass or something.
Right.
You've
got
to have like an army of distributors. So
that would be 300,000 people. Yeah, you're literally going to mass in a bowl. Like
probably.
A bowl.
Well, I think they have a church, but you know, it's probably huge. But I just don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Like how many masses they
That's
have to
insane.
Have.
Yeah. Good for them, man. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, well, you think, you know, I don't again, I don't, who knows what their how what their boundary is, so to speak, you know, how far
I doubt they have a fire
have
code
to come to
yeah.
you know, to make it. So yeah, it's awesome.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Well, let's take the faith of 300,000 people and put it into our gospel
there
reading for this week and
yeah.
With all that excitement and with all that exuberance, let's take a look at what we have here for the fourth Sunday
yeah.
of Advent.
Yeah. Of course, you know, to recap, you know, first Sunday of Advent is usually talking about the second coming of Christ, part of the Advent experience. And then second, third Sunday is John the Baptist, who kind of does both, you know. Like he's a transitional figure. And then, you know, as we get here in the fourth Sunday, our focus does shift to, you know, the birth of Jesus, anticipating that. So this is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. You know, we probably, I don't know if we talked about this before. There's no recorded words of Joseph in the gospel. Sometimes you'll see on social media or even like on a t-shirt, it says they have like just quotation marks with nothing in between, and then it'll say Saint Joseph.
There you go.
But he certainly speaks through his words, his action, not his words, his actions.
Yeah.
You know, his faith, you know, and the kind of life got turned upside down for him, you know, and probably their, what they thought their life was going to be like, you know, Mary and Joseph. And, but he's like, you know, he's wrestling with it, you know, and sometimes maybe we wrestle with maybe things in our life or what God has in store for us or wants for us.
Oh, sure.
But you know, of course, you know, he had the benefit, I guess, of an angel appearing to him in a dream, but he still could have said no.
Yeah.
And not been attuned to that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just sort of like stepping out in faith, saying, okay,
right.
Like if this is what the Lord, you know, has in store, then this is what I'm wanting to step into, you know, and there's a lot to that.
Yeah, definitely the trust and the obedience and perhaps even the quiet courage that, you know, he has. Perhaps that was instilled in him, you know, through the angel, through the message. Mm-hmm. But again, like you said, like we wrestle with things a lot in our life and, you know, it could be something that's of that, you know, sort of magnitude as this was here. But we just feel sort of trapped sometimes and like we don't know what to do. And you know, like it said, you know, he didn't want her to live in shame, or what was the word?
Right.
Since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame.
Mm-hmm. So he wanted to do what was right.
Right.
And so he's probably like, this this child isn't mine, so something happened, you know, and there's some
it's kind of justice it's a weird situation
that needs to be done, but he's not out to get her, which I think is another lesson. Like if something happens, or I mean, he must have felt wronged in some way, perhaps, you know, like wasn't out to get anybody, you know.
Yeah, he just wanted to like go on with his life,
And not
leave,
And is a matter of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, something here is just not obviously going to work out. He probably thought at one point, but you know, he wasn't. Again, he didn't want to expose Mary to shame. Wasn't out to get her. You know, like let's just sort of shake hands, part ways. You know, and I guess we'll move on with life. You know, and there is something to that.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't always react so graciously to
things
in our life.
There's a lot of a lot of times where we can point to like, oh man, I really should have handled that better,
right? Or I want that person to suffer because they made me suffer or something like that.
Yeah, and you could be on the receiving end of that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of ways that we could look at this.
Yeah, I love that, right? And how people could have done that to us, or maybe have, or they chose not to. Like, you know, I'm grateful for that. Sort of adding like what, insult to injury, so to speak. So,
but it is definitely an interesting, I mean, very interesting reading. I wish sometimes that, you know, when I'm having a difficult thing, that an angel would just come to me in a dream and say, oh, this is what you should do, mm-hmm. and then just leave, and I'd be like, great, I know what to do now.
Yeah,
but yeah, we don't all have that advantage, but again, we're not the father of the Son of God.
Foster father of the Son of God. Although it is a reminder that we can turn to the Lord in prayer.
We can.
One would think that, I mean, even though it doesn't say it, and one would think that Joseph, because of his faith and righteousness, you know, would have brought this to prayer and not just tried to figure it out himself, you know, which is also maybe what we try to do.
Well, I think we're overlooking the fact, perhaps, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just got this fact in my head that obviously Mary was selected for a particular reason. Joseph was also selected for a particular reason. Like, I mean, clearly he was supposed to carry that out. Right. And I think that this is a message of hope for us, that we're all selected by God in a similar way to be his good stewards. And it might not be easy for us sometimes, and we might not necessarily like, you know, divorce God or leave God, but it could be challenging for us at some times. And, but we're called to, you know, trust the process, keep the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe it's not an angel that comes to us, but it's somebody else. Maybe it's through prayer. Maybe it's in another way that we can have that faith strengthened again, sort of like Joseph. I mean, it's a great example for us of just what happens when you're a human being and you're living life, you know? It's a very interesting, it really, you know, as quiet as Joseph was, it's almost like his lack of words have greater weight than anything he could have ever said because of what we've read here and what else we know about him.
Part of what I always try to remember too with this whole like the nativity, you know, story, is that we are also called to bear Christ in the world. Obviously not like Mary did.
Yes.
but you know, I think that's kind of what you were getting at, you know, is that, you know, we're called to, you know, bring Jesus into the world and to others, in the way that God has chosen us to do, both as the church as a whole, but also individually, you know, and it might seem strange or impossible or whatnot. Mostly it's probably in ordinary ways, but I think that's part of what we need to reflect on too at this time is, you know, how are we called? How is God calling us as members of his body, to make Christ known, to the world, and not be afraid, as it were, to do that.
Yes, indeed. And can we tap in and really trust that? That's the other thing. Can we really tap into that? And, you know, even when it's difficult, can we lean into that prayer and that, you know, trust that Joseph did, even when there was doubt, even when he was like, nope, I can't, nope, I'm done here. I'm taking a knee. I'm leaving, right? But we need to make sure that we can call on that as well. So praying for the strength to do that and the strength to continue to honor what it is that we've been chosen and picked to honor.
Yeah, so let's do that.
Okay.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. God, in this, especially in this season where there's so much going on and just perhaps a lot of chaos and running around and planning and whatnot, not only do we pray for the gift of the peace of your presence, but also pray that you're able to give us the grace to step into bringing your presence to others. To making you known, your love known to those around us, particularly those most in need of it. So help us to, like Joseph did, like Mary did, to step into your plan to be known and to be known through us. And give us those opportunities to do that and the grace to recognize those and to step into those. So we ask this, Jesus, all in the strength and power of your holy name. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thanks for a great show today.
Parker, thanks everyone. We will see you soon. God bless.